Starting stream health. Says the stream is offline still.
Now we're on now because I can see us.
There we are. Now we got a delay. Yay, it worked. I didn't break something. It only took us 20 minutes. All right. So, we are live streaming with Seamus from the Free Thought Prophet. That's not a tongue twister anywhere. And you're without your counterpart today, which is kind of a shame, but I can't blame him considering it's what, like 2 o'clock in the morning over there?
Right now it's what, 5 hours ahead, so it's probably about 10-ish. So
yeah, 10, 11? That's still pretty late.
Yeah.
And it's a work day.
Yeah, Tuesday. It's just Monday part two.
Monday part two. Well, maybe for some people, since I'm in the Houston area, it's stay at home and work from home until next week. That's what we got told.
Yeah, you guys have had Monday for 3 days in a row or 4 days in a row. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate down there for you guys. So
yeah, I'm pretty fortunate in my area though. I've just had really really bad winds. It's knocked some of my fence boards out. Because they use these really cheap, like, quarter-inch nails. They're real small. And then, that's pretty much it. Just a whole lot of rain. But nothing flooded. So, I'm lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones. I have a lot of people that are my coworkers and that are just, they're out of water. Some of them got evacuated. It's pretty crazy.
Crazy. Sounds it, man. Well, I'm glad it, at least, things are safe in your neighborhood, at least. So
far, so good. Yeah, we're pretty safe. Anyways, let's kick this off. We're talking about assaulting ideas. Now, I sent you a little synopsis about pretty much the concept of this one is if we have an idea and we criticize it, is it pretty much the equivalence of hurting the people that it's behind the idea? So, the first thought, or first place I wanted to start out with on this guy, is what do you think of personal value systems? So,
okay.
To kind of quantify that a little bit, anything that somebody holds is highly valuable, that's a part of their identity of some sort, and you criticize that, do you find that is equal to assaulting somebody or hurting them in some way?
Do I? No. I think there's a reason why people do that or, you know, equate it because, again, you know, what you're saying, personal values, people equate these things, especially religion,
right,
as being part of their persona. I also believe that there's a reason for that. I don't know if you've ever read anything about death denial,
uh-huh.
The theory by Ernest Becker. Basically, the idea is, for those that don't know, the idea is that we are self-aware beings, and we know that we are mortal. And instead of obsessing constantly that one day we're going to die, we attach ourselves to these, you know, cornerstone ideas, so to speak, like religion, like nationalism, patriotism and such, which are different, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we focus those things to keep us from focusing on death. And I actually got to speak to, almost forgot his name, Dr. Sheldon Solomon about this. He did terror management theory, where they actually took these ideas of Becker. And whenever somebody is confronted with their own mortality and then told something contrary or faced with somebody that holds a contrary belief, whether it be religion or, you know, nationality, any of these things, that they become hostile.
Hmm.
And time again, it's shown. There's a great documentary. It's called, what is it called? Flight from Death, The Quest for Immortality. And they actually show them doing those experiments to show that this is in fact a real phenomenon that, you know, we as humans do. So
interesting.
And I mean that maybe went a little bit too far from what we started on, but that's why I think that people take it personal. That's just, you know.
Well, I could see that. So you and I both know that we have conversations with religious folk.
Yes.
And just merely questioning the existence of Jesus, for example, like, well, Twitter's full of trolls anyways, but they go, they go off the deep end and just like insult your mother, basically. I don't know. They get kind of hostile, and I'm not surprised. Because if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, there is a similar one. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's one where your psychological base needs, the ones that require stability and a character, they attach religion to one of those. Like, yeah. It's important to their well-being because it is a part of who they are, describes who they are. So when you attack the idea of a Christian as somebody that believes in make-believe, for example, they get offended and they become hurt in a way, psychologically hurt. Although I don't really like that terminology, but that's what it's called at this point. Psychological Sure. violence or psychological pain.
Well, to be honest, 5-6 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, obviously I wouldn't be having this conversation and I would be on that side of the fence.
Right.
You know, as a former Christian, somebody even brought up the idea that Jesus wasn't a real person and it was just a myth based on other myths. I would have had a conniption. You know, I mean, there's just no way. You know, that's where I was. That was, you know, like you said, it's part of your values. It's why you're grounded.
Yep.
You know, and that's another reason why, you know, I was conservative back then, too. And is the only reason why I was conservative, because, you know, obviously everything in the conservative movement was identified with, you know, religion and Christianity, supposedly. So that was the only reason I held on to that as well. So once you cut that cord, everything falls.
Yeah, I ended up growing up in an atheist family. That was a different experience altogether. But I grew up in what I like to call Little Rome, which is Utah.
Yeah, okay.
You really don't quite understand what it's like to live inside of a or outside of a cult while surrounded by it until you go visit Utah. It's like Children of the Corn there. I kid you not. It's creepy. I also looked up the demographics because I had another argument about race in that sense, because that's one of the topics that are, you know, it's personal identity. But it's also visible, which makes it a little bit different, but not quite. And then I looked up the demographics in Utah, and it's 97% white people there. And I thought to myself, well, man, I knew all 4 black people in Utah. That's amazing. 2 of them were gay, and they were interesting characters all by themselves, and the other 2 were just pretty awesome people. But
wasn't it until, like, the 70s or later even that blacks weren't even allowed to be in the Mormon church?
1978.
Yeah.
The only reason I remember that date is because it's the same day as my same year as my birthday.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I will never forget that. It was in the Tribune that they were threatened by the civil rights movement, and they threatened to have their tax exempt status taken away from them because they refused to let black people into the priesthood. That's what it was. So you couldn't hold basically a rank inside their church if your skin was anything other than.
Oh, but you could be a member of the church, though. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know. You could be a member of the church and do whatever you want.
Well, that's my failing. I thought it was you couldn't be a part of it in general.
No. So, I'm going to pull up the direct verse if I can find it real quick.
How did they justify it? Is that what you're pulling up?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm pulling up. I'm going to see if I can share it without breaking anything. Oh, what the heck happened to our stream here? Like, this screen went crazy size.
Was it like the Sons of Ham? Because I know that's what a lot of evangelicals try to, like, back in Jim Crow era, they try to use kind that Sons of Ham kind of thing argument.
Our stream went like Skawampus, and we only saw the top of your head. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know what happened there, but all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'm going to try transitioning something nifty right off the bat here. Let's see if it'll do it. Come on. There we go. Is it going to do it? Is it going to load? Loaded a black screen. Whatever. All right, I'll just read it.
Okay.
It's Nephi 5:21 is the verse out of their Book of Mormon. And it said, "And he had caused a cursing upon them, ye even sore cursing because of their iniquity. For behold, they had hardened their hearts against him, and they had become like unto a flint, wherefore as they were white and exceedingly fair and delightsome, that they might not be enticed unto the people, the Lord did cause a skin of blackness upon them."
Okay.
So literally wrote in to their Book of Mormon, racism, that anybody that's not white and fair is cursed by God.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I grew up in this neighborhood. But yeah, it was 1978 when they got rid of that. It's been a while. It's amazing to me. All right. Let me resize this stupid thing. I don't know what the hell happened here, but it's bizarre. What you drinking over there?
Jameson. It's the podcast juice of our show generally. So too poor to drink anything else, although this is still good stuff.
Yeah, well, I was watching some of the streams for the flood, and there isn't a liquor store that has liquor in it.
I'm sure. Right,
it's all empty. Like, many a people have went out and just stocked up on beer. And that's what's one sad thing I have to say is I'm almost out.
Oh, that's not good.
And hopefully it dies down enough I can get somewhere. Well, I got to wait until the store's open.
We can get a couple drones and just have them drop it to you.
That'd be perfect. I could deal with that.
That's a sin. That's a true sin.
All right, so I don't know why that didn't load, but whatever. Trying different things on a stream to see if I can't break it. That sounds fun.
But I mean, isn't pretty much cognitive dissonance really part of this as well? I mean, it's kind of a involuntary response to just cut out what you think is, you know, actually a fact, even though facts presented to you says otherwise.
No, I don't think it's part of that. When it comes to something that's core to somebody's identity, it's usually something they value or have been told to value. So ignorance is one thing that's often valued as a virtue. Because we wouldn't have a saying like ignorance is bliss if we didn't value it in some way, all right?
Well, what was Ricky Gervais saying? What, ignorance is bliss to the ignorant, but it fucking sucks for the rest of us?
Yeah. The rest of us is really annoying.
Yeah.
It's so very true. Now, the ignorance is bliss is one thing when it comes to the sayings that we know, but faith in general, when you try to claim anything based on faith, it's a claim of pretending to know you what you don't know, as Peter Boghossian said, and that's a face of ignorance, pretty much. I mean, you don't know for sure, but you're gonna pretend and claim, but that's also a value to you. You find it a part of your core values, so it's like assaulting the person at that point.
And I think the other slippery slope is to remember is ignorance is not intelligence. I mean, there's a difference. You know, we might be ignorant of certain things, but doesn't mean we're foolish. Okay, because I think it's kind of, you know, it's really unfair to attack people who believe bad things and saying that they're fools,
mm-hmm.
even though they hold foolish beliefs. You know what I'm saying? there are, I mean, in history, there have been, you know, brilliant people that believed very foolish things. Newton was, you know, believed in alchemy.
Yeah.
Tesla was big in numerology. You know, you can go on and on. You know, people that have, you know, believed, you know, crazy, insane things. I mean, how many intelligent people who have a very good grasp of science are anti-vaxxers?
That's very true. Well, like,
you know, we have people nowadays are saying that the world is flat. We have flat Earth people. You know, now we could debate how intelligent some of those are, but I mean, you know, we have some people, you know, I mean, that are high profile people. I guess that doesn't equate to intelligence. I mean, I'm thinking of a couple of basketball players, mm-hmm. so I don't know if that's really fair, but.
Well, no,
it's crazy.
If you want to go with intelligence, you got Ben Carson, who has a PhD and is a neuroscientist, scientist, believing in creationism of all freaking things. Yep. Like, you work in biology, you know everything that you've learned is from evolutionary biology, but here you are denying evolution.
Right.
That's cognitive dissonance 101 right there.
Yeah. Is he on the the camp where they try to say, well, we believe in macro evolution but not micro, or vice versa? I always get that backwards.
I think that's macro. They believe in macro, like major changes but not minor ones.
But yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a common thing. I mean, you look at climate change. You know, you got people all over the world that are, you know, supposedly, you know, brilliant people, but, you know, well, you know, that's just nature. That's just nature.
Yeah.
And of course, 10 years ago, you couldn't even get them to even say that there was climate change.
Yeah,
now that they're presented with it, you know? I mean, you're living at a result of climate change, really, if you think about it.
A lot of people have said that lately. It's like, yeah you wanted to know what climate change looks like. Well, look at Houston. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's very true. It's hotter rain. It's hotter weather. It caused a bigger storm. Happened to land on Houston for once.
And it's happening more often, though, I think is the other point.
Yeah,
you know, we're getting more of these kind of storms, and these more severe storms than we're going to. I mean, whenever you have a glacier what the size of, was it Massachusetts or something ridiculous, that just fell into the ocean? And now we found out, because of all this deterioration, that satellites are being able to, you know, look underneath the earth and see that under the glacial shell, that there are like 90 dormant volcanoes. That's insane. So what's going to happen whenever it gets, I mean, you know, me and you, and probably our kids don't have to worry about that. But, you know, the world is going to get really warm really quick once that all that ice melts, assuming that's what's going to happen at this rate.
It will. So. It will adapt. We always do. Something's going to survive. Life just doesn't quit. I mean, we've had...
Well, life will, but
no, not us. Life would not quit. Life in general. And that the only reason I say that is because we've had, what, 3 mass extinctions in the history of this globe?
Yep.
And life is perpetuated through. So we as humans might be killing ourselves, but our future whatevers might survive it all. I'd have to agree, though, that the thing that bothers me is the argument of the consensus does not mean the scientific consensus, for example.
Right.
Does not necessarily mean it's true, and that is a correct statement. However, all the data, hard data, points toward this happening, and we've had it proven once before. Actually, I have to give a little credit to Thunderfoot for this one, because he put it very well that even, you know, the president is a climate change denier. But he also, yeah, he's a science denier in general.
Yeah.
But he also denied the science behind the ozone emissions. The aerosol was destroying the ozone, and he was on campaign saying such. And Thunderfoot had clips of him saying crap about the ozone depleting, and it's, you know, if I'm in a sealed house and doing all this, I'm like, yeah, you'd suffocate, you moron.
Right?
That's the first thing I thought of. It's like, your house is sealed, huh? Then why aren't you dead? If it's sealed, you'd be dead. By your own breathing, you'd be dead.
Yeah, unfortunately, if we're going to get any real science to him, It has to be has to go through Alex Jones. So
not Alex Jones. It'd have to go through popular. It'd have to go through popularity, I guess. It'd have
well,
to go through
he's,
some.
He's pretty much, you know, starts echoing everything that Alex Jones parrots, or he parrots everything that Alex Jones says. Him and of course Fox and Friends, and you know, if we could get some science into that, you know, then yeah,
that's I think that's part of the problem, that most people don't value science in general when it comes down to it. I mean, if you think about it, like all of our major problems, as it were, come from people valuing not just themselves, but valuing some core values that are just plain stupid. Like you mentioned the flat earthers. I happen to know that started as satire.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
It really did. I can't remember the guy's name, but he made up an entire thing about flat earth and how it really is a theory and put some science behind it, made it sound real convincing. And he did it as a study, as a test to prove that people believe just about anything. And he was absolutely right. People latched onto that, made the Flat Earth Society. And wow, it just went from there. And it all started as a joke. He started as satire. He was making fun of people.
My favorite, I think I retweeted this. It was a tweet by the Flat Earth Society. And the tweet was, and I'm going to paraphrase the best I can from my poor memory. Something to the fact of... people say that there's not many of us, but yet we have members all around the globe.
Yeah. I've seen that one so many times.
It's like, dude, really?
Crazy dumb.
But when it comes to the core values and having them challenged, I mean, I don't think it has to be religion.
No.
It doesn't have to be patriotism or any of that stuff, too. I mean, you know, I'm big into music. I'm a huge... Led Zeppelin fan. You know, if you sat there and told me, you know, Led Zeppelin was the worst band in the world or something, I'd be like, oh, you know, I would still be like, dude, that's wrong. You know, again, I would be able to have a discourse about it. You know, I don't think you should be beheaded for, you know, having blasphemy against Jimmy Page, but, you know, still.
You know. Or Robert Plant.
Yeah.
But actually, I happen to agree that they are the best band in the world, and it's not because of subjective, because I grew up on that music. It's more looking at their credentials. If you go through all their albums, very few actually have a chorus. All of them tell a story, so it's like poetry.
Yeah.
Every last one of them in the band, at least from what I remember, had either a master's or PhD in music. Like, they were skilled musicians and went to... Juilliard or some crap, if I remember right. Like, they were up there when it came to musical prowess. So they had the backing to say that, yeah, we're the best. And the fact that everybody knows who they are well after their expiration, 60 years now, it's like Jimi Hendrix. They're just as equally as notorious. But back to subject. When you speak of core values, I just thought of something that maybe...
Excuse me.
Those core values that I think that people hold that get offended by them are entirely subjective meanings.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is if they're spouting off something that's objectively not true, but it's true to them, and maybe that's part of the problem, because it's true to them.
Absolutely. I mean, not to get too specific, I remember going, not only was I going through my deconversion, but I was also going through a very nasty divorce all at the same time.
That's
yeah.
no fun.
Right. And I remember at that point, she was a friend. Later, we actually became, you know, we dated for a while. But she proposed something to me that was just totally... You know, just not absolute non, you know, nothing to get upset about. Conversation. It had to do, it had to do about something in medical science, but because it was something that was instilled in me during my marriage, and I'm trying to deal with that and the conversion and, you know, all that crap. She, you know, basically brought up a true fact that countered what I had believed. Even though it wasn't something that was like a cornerstone of my, you know, philosophy or anything, I totally went apeshit on her about it. And even whenever, you know, and she's trying to hold, you know, back because she's, you know, because she knows what's going on in my world at the time because, you know, she was brilliant. And she's just like, why are you getting so upset about this? And I'm like, you know, well, that's something, you know, obviously, you know, after we stepped back and I started reflecting on it, you know, everything, you know, my world at the time was falling down, falling apart. And it was, you know, basically I'm clinging on to, you know, any sort of, you know, hanging calf, you know, chaff rather, you know, and, you know, this was like the lowest hanging fruit there was. And it you know, when, you know, you look at the facts of it, it was, you know, easily disputed. And you know, here I am ready to take, you know, this person's head off, not literally, but figuratively, over something as, you know, just as weak as that. And that's, you know, I mean, it could be something so trivial that people just will lose their shit.
You know, I had an interesting conversation that's right around there where a whole bunch of people lost their shit and actually got blocked by a couple people on Twitter because of this conversation. Two of them I actually fairly respected, but he was so offended by it, which is bizarre to me. But it was around the abortion claims that they're claiming it's just a clump of cells. And I'm like, you're an absolute ignoramus. Everything is just a clump of cells.
Yeah.
And I'm, what's weird about my position here is I'm actually pro-choice. And I guess they thought I wasn't. I actually got slammed like, your God did this and that. I'm like, I don't believe in God, but thanks for playing.
Right.
it was trying to, you know, give me a cheap shot about this conversation. And it was because they're pro-choice, but they're so pro-choice that anything that denies their rationalization of their opinions was offensive. And where they rationalized was, it's just a clump of cells, it's not even human. I'm like, well, embryology and biology disagrees with you. Once sperm meets egg and it starts reproducing, when a cell's reproducing, you know, they split and so on and so forth, and it goes through the DNA chain and all that fun stuff. Well, that happens within the first week. It goes from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, so on and so forth. It will never be anything else but a human. It can't be. Even if a micro step, it's going to be a minor change in the human physiology. Maybe they have bigger ears. Maybe they can hear slightly better. You know, it'll be something so macro or micro that it doesn't matter. It's still an evolutionary process. But embryology says, dude, that sperm meets egg, that's human, period.
Yep.
So if you're going to go through pro-choice, well, don't rationalize your position that it's just a clump of cells. You're killing a human being. And that's fine, because you're not actually causing harm. There's no neurosystem enveloped. There's no brain that can register pain. You know, it's who's at harm there? No one at that point, right?
Yeah, usually life begins about the time after the guy forgets to pull out. So, yeah.
Yeah, it truly does. And I got in this massive conversation with this, and it was a big argument. And I'm like, guys, I'm on your side. I'm just telling you, don't rationalize your position. Be honest about it, because this is a weak argument.
That's exactly what happens with a lot of these arguments, is that there's, you know, people go through their own rationalization of what they know internally is wrong, and they bullshit themselves. I mean, you know, I've always said that, you know, nobody bullshits you like you bullshit you. You know, that's what we do as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, and I hate this term, but I don't know how to get there outside of it, is the Mandela effect, right? So, I mean, and this could be from, you know, anything as far as, you know, movie quotes, to things that happen in sports. You know, I remember, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Years ago, there was a playoff game between them and the Tennessee Titans. And the Steelers would have tied the game, I believe they would have tied it. You know, memory is short. By kicking a field goal. Well, or no, I apologize. The other team was kicking the field goal to win. And the Steeler defensive back, it was a quarter blitz, went in, and he touched the kicker when he kicked it. So They obviously, you know, called penalty. They were able to retry the kick, and they won the game. Well, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, he barely touched it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you get that ingrained in your brain that, you know, now you have an argument. And I remember listening, you know, on the radio, you know, talk shows and people going back and forth, you know, calling and, oh, he barely touched him. This was nothing. And the guy, you know, on the other side of it was like, no, he hit the kicker. That is the rule. You can't hit the kicker. Well, you know, this whole time, because I'm working, I don't see the play. Whenever I get home, I watch the replay. And, of course, he's right. That's what, in fact, happened.
I mean,
I know that's not the most interesting story, but I mean, you know, again, you know, you bullshit yourself into thinking that, oh, yeah, that's right. That's not what happened, because if that would have happened, you know, that wouldn't justify, you know, my team was wronged. You know, I have to justify that my team was wrong to make it okay.
Yeah, and I see that across the board when it comes to any argument for anything. They use the common defense mechanisms that are always out there, and they... I mean, they're on the right side, in my opinion, or anybody's opinion, as far as if you have kind of the same moral base of do no harm or do least amount of harm. You start from there, and then you start arguing about semantics. That's fine. Go ahead, but just don't freaking lie about it. And I think that's a part that bugs me the most, and maybe that's a part of my own core set of values is... I don't like liars, so when you're bullshitting, I'm going to call you on your bullshit. But that's the problem. People get offended when you call them on their bullshit.
Right. But again, like I said, if people are bullshitting themselves,
it becomes
a problem because they're in their own circular argument.
Yeah.
Because they are telling themselves, no, you're right, even though inside they know that they're wrong and that they put themselves in a corner and, you know, what do we do, you know, as people, as humans, is... You know, any primate, what are you going to do when you're in a corner? You got to fight your way out of it. You definitely can't admit that you're wrong, you know? And if you're going to admit that you're wrong, you're not going to admit it to somebody else. You're going to have to internalize that and deal with it before you move on. And there lies the other conflict.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Like, it becomes a core value of theirs, and because they've already made up their mind on that one particular subject, for example, then they'll... use the common traps that even their other side uses. It's a human failure, in my opinion, that rationality goes right out the frickin' window, and we just commonly use our instinctual behaviors of defense for stupid things. It's like being afraid of a test, you know? It's like, it's not going to hurt you, but because it's psychologically challenging, then you immediately just freak the hell out, you know?
Oh yeah, I've taken enough tests in my life. I don't need that fear anymore. So I know I got more ahead of me, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I got one I'm supposed to take. Actually, I think I was supposed to take it like last week or the week before, and I really don't want to, but it's a part of my job, so I'm kind of supposed to. And it's already paid for, so I'm like, I hate tests. I think, and it's a bureaucratic. Test as well. It's based on a standard that the UK, the British government, created.
Okay.
So it's all bureaucratic.
That's no fun.
Oh yeah, it's called ITIL. ITIL. I'm supposed to go take this test, and I'm just like, I really don't want to. So
yeah, nothing like red tape.
Exactly. That's exactly what this is. So on the subject of core values, how would you go about challenging somebody's value without, or would you even care about hurting their feelings?
Well, I mean, I guess first the question is, why am I challenging those values? I mean, if they're false, and that's what the conversation becomes is, you know, like, okay, to make it kind of topical, I guess, we have on Twitter right now, I don't know if you saw it, there's a thing called the Nashville Statement. Have you seen it?
I haven't been reading it, no. But...
Okay. So basically a bunch of evangelicals started this statement, and it's basically, if you want, I can read it, actually have it up here. It's called we affirm that it is sinful to approve of homosexual immorality or transgenderism, that such approval constitutes an essential departure from Christian faithfulness and witness. We deny that the approval of homosexual immorality or transgenderism is a matter of moral indifference about which otherwise faithful Christians should agree to disagree. So I don't know. I know that this was kind of started by some evangelicals, and there's a big list of them that signed this. I don't really understand why this is a thing now. But yeah, if I'm you know, dealt with somebody that at their core value that they think that, you know, homosexuality is wrong because it's a sin, then yeah, I'm going to attack that as a core value. I would kind of question as to why you think it is a core value. If you think it is core value just because it's part of your religion, then we have to debate why is it a part of your religion, right? And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, when you're talking about a religion that advocates and instructs slavery but has a problem with homosexuality, then I think there's a problem with your religion. Right? I mean, maybe that's not the nicest way to address it, but that might be a start.
Yeah, I just pulled up the Twitter feed here, and I'm reading through it, and
yeah,
it's pretty entertaining. A couple of people are in there saying, yeah, I signed it, and a few others are bashing on him, like the Twitter trolls, like Almighty God, the Twitter troll. He's usually pretty entertaining. There was one Twitter troll, it was Almighty God or something like that, and had like 6 million people following that Twitter handle, but he only followed one, and it was Justin Bieber.
Oh my.
It was absolutely hilarious. But it looks like it's the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, the Coalition for Biblical Sexuality. That's who released the statement. And yeah. Apparently, some people didn't read the Bible. In fairness, they don't speak for God either. They don't speak for anyone of themselves. Yeah, they've not read the Bible. Because, unfortunately, that if they're good Christians, that's exactly what they'd be. That's what they would say. They would be just like Islam and killing gay people. Because, according to the Bible, being gay is something to be... It's an abomination, which is something to be hated.
Well, it's the same in the Old Testament.
Well, that's exactly where it's from. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's because they're all Abrahamic religions. They all pick, bar, and steal from each other.
Yep.
So that's the other problem there. But yeah.
Yeah, but that's exactly what they would say, and I could see why they think this is a core value, because they also assume, in order to hold this is probably a really good thing to touch on, because in order to hold this view, they have to hold it from ignorance, because biology, evolutionary biology, has proven that transsexual animals do exist. There's, I can't remember what kind of fish it was, but there's a fish that looks exactly like the female of its species, but it's male, and it looks and it looks like a female, so it can sneak under the males and mate with the other female that's there. It's bizarre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a bizarre fish.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if you got anything on that after this, please send me that. I want to read that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I got to look it up. It's a really ugly-ass fish, too.
No doubt.
It's not like the puffer fish or something like that. No, it's a really ugly-ass fish, but that's what it does. It has two different male types, and one of them is like the big, burly, intimidating male, and then there's another one that looks like the female, and it slips under... And basically has two different methods of breeding. One's going to be the sly, to go to the mean, it's going to be a trap, basically.
Okay.
And the other one is the big burly man that's the quarterback, and the female basically mates with both. But the female hides under the big burly man, and it's purposely kept there by the male, so he can't get away. But then it'll... mate with both of them, so 50-50 of the genes into all the eggs from two different males, and one of them's a trap. Basically, it's a man dressed up like a woman. Well, I guess, bred to look like a woman in that case, right?
Well, yeah. It's beyond dude looks like a lady, or the scene from yep. Bachelor Party.
Well, this one literally is.
Myself, but yeah.
This one literally is dude looks like a lady, and it's a fish yeah. that wow. does this. But they've also proven in most mammalian species that, like, I think, was it Lawrence Krauss that said, like, the last study he read was 10% of goats are gay around that, and that 10% prefer the same male partner because that goat is also gay. And it's wow. something to protect the alpha of the species or something like that. There was an evolutionary reason why those exist. And it's so they can be trusted around their female, so basically, yeah, male friends or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really weird what I was reading, and I was like, I don't know if that's true in humans, but we can roll with that. If it's 10% of male species is typically gay, that kind of makes sense if you see it across all mammalian species. But then they step in with their religion and not understand the science behind it. And because it's a core value that they're Christian, they immediately right. go on the attack. So essentially, they're already denying evolution, which is fine. You go right ahead and be dumb. But at the same time, they're nitpicking the arguments. You know, we know that you're born gay, that women are more fluid with their sexuality than men. And because of this, we have the kind of weird political mess that we have right now. But at the same time, you got the diehard Christians that are trying to hold on to these old archaic views that are just not true, and they're holding on to them because it's a core value.
Yeah,
they are Christian, and to be Christian means you got to believe in the Bible. So,
well, it's also a core value that's tied into so many other different things.
Yeah.
You know, it's tied into the apple pie and you know, all the other nonsense that everybody equates to being the same, and it's not. You know, it's, you know, whenever you have things that are propped up as some sort of idealism. Sorry. Okay. You know, it's all kind of mushed together, right? And sometimes it shouldn't be that such. I mean, this is also kind of a thing where you could also equate it to not arguments from ignorance, but argument from authority, right? We tend to have people that we, you know, lionize or, you know, prop up as heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that everything that they say is correct or that you're going to agree with. But, again, you try to justify or bullshit yourself to try to justify what they are saying. You know, people, I mean, hell, well, people. Whenever I was a conservative, I hate to say this, you know, talking about Mormons, but I used to think Glenn Beck was the fucking bomb, you know? And even whenever he would say stupid shit, I was like, well, you know, and I'd sit there and try to find a reason why he was right instead of, you know, just coming out and saying, no, that's fucking bullshit, which should have been day one since he opened his mouth. But, you know, again, I was bullshitting myself the whole time because, you know, I was a conservative. Why was I a conservative? Because I was a Christian, and yeah. you have to be a Christian conservative, and, you know.
Well, to be fair, Glenn Beck has said a couple things that I do agree with.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean,
on a rare occasion, he's you know, what's the saying? The clock is right. The broken clock is right twice a day.
That's right. I mean, it's just like on the opposite side of the fence. I mean, Christopher Hitchens, I freaking love, right? I mean, probably, mm-hmm. you know, of three famous people that I would ever like to have a conversation with, dead or alive, he'd be number one. George Carlin, number two. But both of them say things, or have said things that I have disagreed with. Hitchens was pro-life, and he was for the Iraq War. I am, you know, not for either. You know, but that's okay. It's okay to have different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, you know, I mean, you know, fortunately I don't have to behead you because you like Led Zeppelin. But if you didn't like Led Zeppelin, it's okay. Right? You know.
Well, you could be on Wayne's World and say no more Stairway.
That's right, yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, I don't know, I guess you just, getting to being rational. And I think that's the other problem of this, is if you have to be able to get to a rational discourse with people. And unfortunately, some people just don't have it in them that to have a, you know, rational discussion. Yeah. And I think, and I know this sounds an oxymoron, but yes, you can be religious and be rational. Or maybe civil is maybe the better.
You can be religious and civil, not necessarily always are you rational. But right. However, that it is the case that they can be rational, and it's very obvious that most of them are, because only when it comes to defending their beliefs, especially when they're working in fields that are counter to their beliefs, or doing things that are counter to their beliefs, do they ever rationalize their position. But they're just like any other religion. I mean, the Muslim population, for example, just to get out of Christianity for a little while.
Sure.
They like to tout that they're the second or third largest religion in the world or something like that. And 90% of them aren't crazy people that want to blow people up. I'm like, yeah, and 90% cherry pick. That's the only reason they don't blow people up. If they were to read the Quran from cover to cover, no. I've read it from cover to cover, and I frequently use the Skeptics Annotated Bible website.
Yes.
They have a version of it, the Quran, and if you go to just the violent acts in the Quran, there's over 500 passages. And I didn't even get past book 1, verse 8, something or other, where it says to chop my head off and take my fingertips because I don't believe.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, see, there's your problem right there. You're taking all the good pieces that you like. And after reading the Quran once, I can tell you that most of it's just praise to Muhammad in the first place. But they cherry pick just like any other religion does. And it's fairly obvious that they do. And that's to maintain their core value, because they're Muslim and they're good people, that this is their how they rationalize those two together.
Yeah. But I don't have the exact number in front of me. I remember seeing it quoted before. I know that it's more than double. It's almost three times as far as violence being mentioned between the two books, between the Bible and Quran. Okay. I think it was borderline on like three times the amount. I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did.
Oh, we can find out real quick.
So I'm sure.
So if we go to,
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I mean, it's still interesting.
Well, if you go to, it's cruelty and violence. They actually have the section lit out in the Skeptics Annotated Bible, and they're pretty accurate when they pick it apart, which is great. But for the Bible, cruelty and violence, it's 1,321 passages. And in the Quran, I think it was 5-something or other.
Yeah.
Okay, Quran. Come on, finish loading. I want to go to the count.
Not that I'm pro-Quran or Islam by any means. I think they're both fruits from the same poisonous tree, if you...
I find all religion to be, just as Hitchens said, poison. And Matt Dillon, he said the same thing. It's poison.
Yeah.
532.
Yeah, Church of the Lotto Lamp is definitely a happening thing. And the Church of Bacon, that's good. Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, that's another good one.
Yeah. The Church of Bro?
So, yeah, I'm down with all that shit. So,
was it the Church of Bro or the... I can't remember the name of it.
The Dude?
The Dude.
Dudism,
that's right. Yeah.
There's also the Church of the Jedi. Or the Temple of the Jedi, I believe.
Yeah, it's the Temple of the Jedi, and I actually was tempted to check that one out and actually join it just because it would be fun. And I wanted to be an antagonist in there, too, and say, I take the gray path, because there's there's a light and they're dark, and from the Knights of the Old Republic stuff, they actually had, like, a creed that they said. And long time ago, I don't anymore, but I used to have those memorized, so I'd spat off the gray one and say there's only one way, the middle way, because it's the gray area. It's like the light and the dark side, and I'm going down the middle. Forget both y'all, just to antagonize. But apparently where that started, I was looking that up, was to make fun of the Census Bureau in the UK, because they basically let you choose whatever the hell you want.
Nice.
And so if you're claiming a religion, they put down Jedi as a religion on the census response. So they had to declare it an official religion in the UK because of it.
And that's brilliant.
That's where Kekistan came from too. Because
what is it?
Kekistan?
I haven't heard that one.
Look up the Kekistani. You'll have some fun with that. It's okay. They took Pepe the Frog as a meme. They exploded it. They took the Hitler flag, turned it green and black with a shamrock four leaf clover in the corner. It's just like they're making fun of all identity politics. Was the whole idea behind it, is to make fun of all identity politics. There's a first and second great meme war. It's all about jokes and everybody taking things too seriously. But the thing that I thought was funny is it all started from the same thing. It was the UK Census Bureau allows you to put down any origin of country or race, if you will. So the next census is coming up, and I think it was Sargon of Akkad that mentioned and thought that it would be a really cool idea if we made up our own that's absolutely making fun of all identity politics. And the K-E-K, Kek, is L-O-L in like Danish or something like that. So it just sprawled out from there. Like, they found a national anthem called Chatelet that's from the Great Pepe album from some dude in, that no one's ever heard of out of Italy. It spiraled into bizarre. LOL was the main theme, and it just went straight to hell from there. It's absolutely hilarious, but it's the same kind of thing. Now, some people have taken that to heart and take it as their core identity to say, you know, this is all absolutely a joke, and this is my core identity. So some of them have taken it to be a part of identity politics. And it's really bizarre to see some of the people that have actually taken this on as a real thing, when everybody else knows this is an absolute joke to make fun of identity politics. And it's just...
Well, I guess it's going to be just like the flat earthers, if that's in fact how that started, right? I mean, you're going to have people that are, you know, thinking, oh, this is it, man. You know, I have found the promised land, right?
YouTuber, yeah, it did start out as a messed up freaking... it's satirical art. I'm gonna look it up. I forgot who did it, but it should be fun to look up. But so back to the core values. If you know that their core value is causing harm to people, how would you address it?
Well, I mean, again, I guess it's what's the basis of that core value? I think you have to just, you know, deconstruct it as you go, right? You know, I mean, in this case, if it's, you know, homosexuality, and if it's all based on the religion, then you have to, you know, deconstruct why is that important, and why is it that the same book that condemns homosexuality is also that condemns shellfish, tattoos, you know, wearing two kinds of the same or two different kinds of linen, you know, right? But yet people practice that. Where's the protest out in front of Red Lobster? You know, I mean, there's a total disconnect there. You know, I mean, it really depends upon what, you know, where is this being based in? You know, like, unfortunately, I live in the state where William Pierce had his compound. You know, William Pierce, the author of the Turner Diaries.
Yep.
If you know, yeah. National Alliance, right? And they, you know, believed in the Christian identity movement, which basically comes to the idea that in the Garden of Eden, whenever they're talking about the serpent, it's actually Satan. And whenever they're talking about the apple, they're talking about the virginity of Eve, and that Satan raped Eve and produced a Jewish race. So that is how they justify hatred of the Jews. So that's an example of, like, you know, some sort of sick, demented rationalization, right? So how do you get past that in a conversation? I mean, other than pointing out the obviously flaws of, well, first off, I don't remember that in Bible study. Right? You know, yeah, I mean, how do you actually adjust, you know, or just a regular Nazi? How do you have that conversation?
Well, that's another fun thing. that I find entertaining is most people that decry that they're Nazis aren't actually Nazis. The National Socialist German Workers' Party hasn't existed for 100 years almost now. Well, right. 1946, I guess, is when it
right.
died.
It's also it's also funny that the tenants they grab onto weren't actually part of that actual movement. They just go on to, which basically, if you ask me, is Lutheranism, or a Germanized Hitlerish version of Lutheranism, because, you know, the old joke is, you know, well, you know, let's point out the great sins of atheists, and they always point to Hitler, which Hitler was anything but an atheist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's you know, pretty much, you know, pretty easily dismissal claim. You know, he was a Catholic, but he really practiced more of a Lutheran kind of dogma.
Yeah,
as far as, you know, Martin Luther, as in not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther was, you know, an anti-Semite. I mean, other than, you know, the proclamation that he made towards the Catholic Church, I question anybody to produce anything, any good that this man did. He was an evil fucker. I mean, I'm sorry, he just was. And a lot of Hitler's ideas came from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have that kind of Lutheran, again, Hitlerish, whatever you want to call it, movement. You know, and just, you know, your Sons of Ham and Confederate-ish racism all thrown into some sort of neo-Nazi skinhead asshole movement that's now been baptized by Trump and Breitbart and all the other assholes. So,
yeah, see, I don't, I didn't hear him baptize him though. Let's just say he called out the bullshit on both sides, and then the media flipped the shit. Like, oh, you're not going to denounce white supremacy? What the hell? I was like, are you going to denounce Black Panthers and black supremacy then? No.
Well,
shut up. They're all stupid.
I don't disagree with what you're saying there, except for the fact that if you watch, and this is probably an argument, I know. But if you watch the video of his first speech, whole video, he was
atrocious.
Well, he was asked three different times, you know, whatever he said, many sides.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked three different times, will you denounce the white separatists, the neo-Nazis? He was asked all this stuff three different times, refused to answer.
Yeah, he didn't refuse.
Yeah. So, I mean, just fucking, I mean, how hard is it? I mean, you know, whether or not you like John Oliver or not, you know, I think he said best, how low is the bar to be able to come out and say Nazis are bad? How hard is that?
Well, I think the problem with him was, and I agree, he did that. He was stupid. He came out like, what, the third time and said, yeah, of course, right?
Well, no, well, he said it the one time. Then he wrote, or read, I'm sorry, you know, the thing on the teleprompter, which he looked like a fucking hostage when he did it. You know, basically condemning them, but then turn around, what, 3 days after that, and basically like, oh, no, they're all bad. You know, what's really is the alt-left? Tell me what the alt-left, let's blame the alt-left, too. You know, just kind of went after them.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not an Antifa supporter. I don't believe it's okay to go punching Nazis. That's a whole other argument.
Yeah, but they have to make up Nazis for them to be able to punch them in the first place. That's a problem.
True.
They don't exist.
There was actual Nazis, though. Or at least people that identified themselves as Nazis, whether or not you want to say that they were Nazis.
They're not.
They identified as Nazis, and they also identified as wanting to commit violence and hate and all the things that, you know.
They'd have to be socialist to be Nazis to begin with. National socialist. I would leave the bar there. I'd drop off the German Workers' Party. Not necessarily is that ever going to exist again, because we don't have a Workers' Party. It's either Democrat or Republican in the U.S., but if they went National Socialist and went that far, then I would declare them, yeah, sure, be a Nazi, because that's exactly what the Nazis were National Socialists. But they're also adding in there some very bizarre, like, ethno-state stuff and whatnot. I'm like, we're a mixed breed for the last 3,000 to 5,000 years. You're not going to find a pure white person anywhere, ever. No. I mean, me and my sister went and did this, that Ancestry... spit test, and we went to the one that's the most reliable, because they did a bunch of like surprise tests with triplets and that, just to see how they turned out, and like one of them was like way the hell off. Like, I guess the triplets, none of them were related to each other. That kind of like, what the hell, did you like mix some people's spit or something? But the one that was like within 90 to 95% accuracy is the one that my sister did, and it turns out that like I'm half Norse. So if you want to go, if you want to go, actually, I think your friend John commented on it too, if I remember right, because I put up the whole thing. He says, "Look, apparently I'm not Scottish, but Irish and half Norse." And he's like, "Oh, look, you lost one for the team." And he tweeted one of the Scottish doctors that's on our feeds. It's like, "You lost one for the team and gained one for our side." I was like,
That's
"Wow,
great.
dude, that was awesome." Small little thread.
I mean, we all crawl out, eventually crawled out of the same cesspool,
Yeah, we're all
like it's
basically
something.
human. There's actually
So.
different subsets of human, we found out. And no one really wants to admit to, like, there was actually a different kind of, not the Neanderthals, not just them, but there was ones over in the Asia area as well. And that's why potentially most Asian people are really, really short. Ooh, really short. It's because they have this additional genome within them that's from a different species of human. And
Oh.
I was watching that on one of the biology
Is that
documentaries.
the Bering Strait theory
I think so, yeah.
kind of thing? Yeah, don't mind my dogs. They're barking all of a sudden. So.
It's all good. I actually see light outside my window now. So it's been 4 days since I've seen the sunshine.
It's an affirmation of God.
Must
So.
be. Apparently, there's a cross that's still standing with the rain, and that some people are taking that as an affirmation to God. It's like, about a few dozen people died today,
Right, yeah.
right?
It's about as dumb as
But good for your cross stick to be standing still.
what is the meme that's been out there forever about the woman that lost her sister to a fire, and beside the bed, the Bible was not touched. It's a miracle. It's like, bitch, you lost your sister, and you're pointing to a miracle because the Bible wasn't touched,
Yeah, wasn't there a prosperity gospel preacher that did the same thing? Like he rolled his Rolls Royce or something, and his wife is in critical condition, but he came out okay. Praise God. It's like, really, dude? You crazy
And
bastard.
Jesus says, I need a third jet. I need a third jet. So send me your money. Yeah, those
Oh
fuckers,
yeah,
those
that was
idiots.
Creflo Dollar that did that. I need a new jet, $76 million. You don't understand my ministry. It's all defending it. It's like,
And how about your buddy down there, Joel Osteen, not letting everybody in his church? That's
oh,
great.
he finally did, but I think it was
Yeah,
because
after
everybody,
guilt.
yeah, I think everybody guilted him in off the internet to do it. It's like, I read through some of his comments, and some of the people were saying like, you don't know understand how long it took for him to prep the place to accept the flood victims and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, but there's a local furniture place to open the doors day one. So don't give me your bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sure he prepped it. He put down plastic and stuff
Oh,
because he didn't want
he
all the poor
requested
people to run.
donations after this too. I was like, you sleazy bastard. You got two homes bigger than most people. And you're
Just in Texas,
oh my
right? I mean,
God.
he's got multiple homes. I mean, what a
This
scumbag.
sleazy bastard. Yeah, I
I mean,
read all about that, and me and my wife were reading that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I hope your place did get flooded and damaged, and you have to spend some money. But then again, his parishioners would probably have to pay for it, not him.
And again, I mean, they're all hucksters, just like Alex Jones. I mean, sin is what sin. Sin is the disease that snake oil salesmen sell to the people so that they can provide a cure that doesn't exist. And that's what these people do constantly.
Yeah, and they make me jealous. I could have done the same thing and made
Well,
millions.
I know. One of these days, maybe I'll see the light. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and then I can really make some money.
Well, with the way things are going on YouTube and all that, it looking like we're all have to switch a different platform here soon anyway, so.
Well, I think all of our titles of all the episodes from now on will be something about praising Jesus or something.
No, those will probably get blocked too.
You think?
Oh
Okay,
yeah.
we have to come up with some sort of code.
You got to use the clickbait names that have that you see all the 6 million follower people have, like the was that the J Paul? I think that's his name. or PewDiePie, where it's like, this is the hardest thing, and that's all it says in the title. You're like, all right. And then you watch it at some stupid, like, laugh or lose thing or whatever. Some of his stuff is pretty funny, and other stuff is just like, dude, this is retarded. Just stop. You're hurting my brain. All right, well, we hit the hour mark on the live stream. 5 minutes over. Yeah. That's fine by me. But it was an interesting conversation. Went all over the place. Which is fine.
Tends to do that with me. I ramble. I babble. So.
It's all good. It's too bad your buddy John couldn't join us.
Yeah, hopefully next time we can all be on here again, or you could come on our show. So,
Well, now that I figured out how to stream this properly.
Yeah, technology can be fun. So,
well, this is the second time I tried it, and when I tried it with John the last time, like, nothing worked. I couldn't get him dialed in. It wouldn't connect to the the podcast site that I use. He couldn't dial in there. I couldn't do a split call. And I think it was because I loaded that new version up like I did last time, and then it just kind of went all kind of stupid. I'm using the older version now, and it's doing a hell of a lot better than it was.
Yeah, if the people from Skype are listening, you need to go back to your old shit. This new shit sucks.
Yeah, so. It was atrocious. I don't know. But so long as it worked, that's all that matters. Yep. So, yeah, thanks for coming on. I'm going to put this over on my podcast side, too, because I was lazy. And the flood actually made it so I couldn't record my last episode, so I have to still do that. So there's an episode missing between this one and the next one. So, yeah, thank you for coming on. I hope you, hope you had some fun.
Anytime.
You're not too sauced there? Huh? You're not too sauced? Did you finish your drink?
No, I'm fine. Takes a few of these for it to kick in, you know, really. So.
This is the only thing I've been
drinking.
Smart
water.
I'm almost done, too. See that?
Yeah, you need to cut back on that water, man. It's going to fry your brain.
No, I drink 2 liters a day because I do jujitsu and stuff, so pretty exercise heavily.
You got to stop that. You're going to mess with your urinary tract, you know, overuse. It's just, you know.
That's true. You do drop a knee into somebody's groin, they tend to notice.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get back into something like that myself. So I used to do that when I was younger. I'm old and beyond my prime, so I got to do something. But that's another conversation.
Yeah, so. I started up. I've been doing this since I was little, too. But I haven't stopped. I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
I never stopped. So.
Yeah, I did karate, and then I did hockey for years. Hockey was probably the last thing that I really did. I mean, until, you know, then when I got in law enforcement, we used to do stuff, you know, just kind of like once a month as a goof off. So, but, even towards the end of that, I kind of backed off of that a little bit too much, and I've been too much of a couch potato for, 6-ish years. So
might as well jump back into it now. Never hurt.
Yeah. I need to get back into something. That's for sure.
One of my next videos that I'll put up there that probably won't get demonetized or stricken down or whatever is going to be my next competition, because I got my blue belt after my last one. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. If I can get John on board, then like from now on, what we'll do is we'll like do push-ups the whole time we're doing an episode. So it'll probably be about the time we get like somebody like Richard Dawkins on or somebody like that. So Dr. Dawkins, something like that.
I don't think that'd work out very well.
Yeah. On top of the shtick that we already do as far as drinking, so, like every 10 push-ups we can take a sip or something. I don't know. We'll have to come up with some sort of a game for that.
I'd like to get him on my channel one of these days.
Dawkins?
I have some stuff I want to discuss with him when it comes to biology in particular and some of the subjects. When I try to formulate something, as far as my core values, and this is probably where we can end it, is anytime I try to formulate a core value and I'm kind of wishy-washy on it, it's because I'm looking for the grounded science to formulate an opinion. So, for example, the one I brought up first was the pro-life, pro-choice debate. Well, I was kind of in the middle. I was like, I'm pro-life because I don't think you should kill humans, but I'm also pro-choice because I don't think I should be telling other people what to do. It's I don't expect people to tell me what to do, and I don't want to do that to other people. Right. So that's, I had two moral conundrums there. So what did I do? I went through embryology and biology, and the definition of life is pretty straightforward when it comes to biology. It has to react to environment, multiply, and react to stimulus and consume energy of some sort, consume food. Well, an embryo within the first week multiplies. It splits and divides. It reacts to its environment by seeking out a natural food source, and that's to attach itself to the uterine wall somewhere, wherever it can. And then it develops its own way to start eating, and it essentially becomes a parasite, if you think about it, because there's no value to the mother whatsoever. Like, it's all consuming off of her, and if she doesn't eat enough, it starts eating at her bone marrow and stuff like that. It's like self-destructive. So,
which kind of goes into, you know, one of the reasons why that now that I am very pro-choice. Again, the same person that I had that conversation with before about my values, she had an abortion. And she told me that one of the reasons why was because she had already had one child, and at that time she can barely put food on the table for her and her current child.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that she can, you know, pay the medical expenses, increase her own diet, or any of the things that would make the child be a viable, you know, pregnancy anyways. So it just made sense for her to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was an easy choice on her by any part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you think about that, and you think about, you know, rape victims.
Mm-hmm.
Or especially in societies where, you know, we talked about Islam earlier, where it's okay for, you know, children to be married off at fucking 9 years old, or, you know, right?
Consummated at 14.
Yeah. Or even before. It's in some countries, you know, Yemen has been notorious for having, you know, children killed on their wedding night.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a sentence. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, literally, they die from the sex or from being pregnant because they're just physically unable to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you consider all those things, you know, I mean, it's just, to me, it was an easy turnaround once you get past the religious nonsense.
Yep. So. One of my good friends in high school, actually, I used to be a DJ at an 18 up club, so there's no alcohol or anything. And she was a very, very beautiful lady, and somebody decided to follow her to her car and rape her.
Oh my.
Yeah. And she decided to keep the child and teach it not to rape, essentially. So ultra feminist ideology at that point. But she also kept the child because she couldn't bring herself to kill it either. So everybody asked her that, like, what are you going to do? But at the same time, I have another friend of mine. In fact, I'm going to her wedding here shortly. And she never wanted a child and has had two or three abortions. And it came down to her being so deathly afraid of being a mother and a failure because of her own mother that she couldn't bear the thought of actually trying to raise a child. Like, it deathly scared her, like psychologically scared her. It was really crazy. So she eventually got fixed so that she can't have children anymore. That was, she'd been pushing for it for years, but the last time she got pregnant, she's like, this is it. I can't do this anymore. Cause it would stress her the hell out. Like, she'd go crazy. So, I've seen both sides of this particular side, and I'm like, well, what's the most ethical, moral, scientific position you could possibly have? And that's to be pro-choice, because you can't enforce your morals unless it's an ethical position on somebody else. But at the same time, it's killing a human, so where is it acceptable to kill a human when it feels no pain? Or it's, you know, the what's the choice to kill yourself, forget the name of it, where they finally passed some of those laws in, like, California and that, where you can have assisted suicide.
Right.
And that's because you don't want to live anymore.
But here's the other argument. I think this is probably the last thing I can say on all this. because of time and other things. But suicide, abortions. Stats. Wow, I can't speak. Yeah, thank you. Has shown once you make those things available, once you make it available to have a suicide or to have abortions, the rates of both go down.
Yep.
It's when the choice is not given that people get into a state where they don't know what to do. And, you know, they have to internalize that. And especially with suicide, you know, they have to do something that they may maybe not have other done. You know, mm-hmm. whenever somebody has a choice, yeah, they're able to look at things more rationally. Yep. When they don't have a choice is when they will make irrational decisions.
Well, they're not allowed to have the choice, I think was the better
yes,
way to put it.
Yes, exactly.
Because you could always choose to do so. So you hear about the coat hanger abortions, which I'm sure happened in some places, which is disturbing. And then there's no way anybody can ever stop you from killing yourself, especially in the United States. Because you don't have to, you can go over to any gun store and just fill out the Fed form. If you've never had a criminal record, you pretty much can get yourself a handgun and you could do it right there if you felt like it.
Or find the nearest bridge.
Or yeah. Well, actually, I've had a friend try to do that and he failed.
Yep. Hey, Robin Williams, all he needed was a belt and a door.
A belt and a door would work.
Yeah. So if you want to do it, you'll find a way.
Oh yeah. If you're convicted enough, you're going to do it anyways. You can't stop something like that. Now abortion's a little bit more tricky because you can end up hurting yourself in the same run. Sorry. But yeah, I agree.
That's all I got. I'm sorry. I know we were already past our hour, but I'm going to have to get off here to deal with our, life stuff. So
deal with life. Yeah, well, the sun's out now, so we're gonna try and go get some food. So
there you go.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, anytime. Like I said, you're more welcome to come back on our show as well, so give me a holler.
Excellent. Talk to you later.
Alrighty, take care.
Bye.